Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Welcome to church this morning. Somebody actually said it was nice to come into the warm, which must be a novel feeling when you arrive at church. So I don't have many announcements. There's just a mention that there are still 5 places left for the trip to Liverpool. So if you're interested in going, please could you tell Mandy and give her the money. And also a reminder that next week there isn't a service here. It's a circuit service at Macclesfield at 10:30. And now I'd like to welcome Reverend Katie Smith to lead us in our worship. She's Deputy Mission Lead for Greater Manchester in the Northern District.
Thank you. It's really lovely to be here. And if you're not quite sure what a mission area lead is, we're still working it out as we go. There are 5 of us across this big new district, and we're still working out how we all come together and work. So don't worry about that. We come this morning to worship God in words and actions, in thoughts and in song. Let's pray. Loving God, bless this time that we spend in worship, that we may know you and your love for us more fully. Amen. We're going to begin by singing hymn number 82. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder, how great thou art.
Take me home.
Let us pray. God of the past, we praise and worship you for your act of creation that has given us all that we are and all that we see, for your presence in your creation, breathing life into the world, and for the history of your involvement with humanity. We praise you that in Jesus you entered more fully into creation, showing us the way to live and revealing the depth of your love through his death on the cross. We praise and thank you for the blessings that we have known in our lives and for those people who have nurtured us and shown us love. God of the past, we praise and worship you this morning. God of the present, we praise you for this day and this morning, for the light that comes after the darkness of night, and for the privilege of gathering together in fellowship with one another. We praise and thank you for the blessings large and small that we experience today, for food and drink, activity and rest, friendship and love. We praise you that you are present with us today through your Holy Spirit in all that we do and in whoever we meet. God of the present, we praise and worship you this morning. God of the future, looking forward can be unnerving. We do not know what the future holds, and our anticipation of it often mixes excitement and apprehension. And yet we praise and worship you, loving and eternal God, that each of our futures is in your hands, that you offer us strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow, and that you are with us in and through all that we experience. Grow in us the faith and trust to proclaim that all will be well with you. God of the future, we praise and worship you this morning. God of the past, the present and the future, be with us and in us. Lead us, guide us and help us to walk more closely with you, today and always. Amen. We are now going to join some friends in a place not very far from here as they prepare to go for a walk. I'm hoping some dramatists are going to appear now. Yes.
Oh, good, you're here. I was beginning to worry about you. Everything okay?
Well, I think so. I'm sorry I'm late. It just took me a bit longer to get ready than I thought it would. But I'm here now, ready for anything.
You certainly brought a lot of things with you for a walk around Lyme Park. What have you got in there?
Well, I got to think. You know how the weather's been recently? First it's raining and then it's icy. So it could be a bit slippy up there. One of us could have an accident.
I hope not.
Well, of course I hope not too. But you have to be prepared. So I packed a first aid kit.
Well, I suppose that's reasonable.
Well, yes, it's all in here, in my... Oh, I can hardly pick it up. In my rucksack. I've got, and I've made a list, antiseptic cream, plasters, little plasters, big plasters, cream for bee stings and spray for nettle stings, and slings and bandages and splints for broken arms and legs, and a neck brace. Some adrenaline in case we go into anaphylactic shock, crutches, painkillers, and some laxatives just in case.
Blimey, you do know there are rangers in Lyme Park who can help you.
Well, yes. But what if they take a long time to get here? Then I thought, what if it was a really nasty accident? And you know, too late for anything. So I popped by the church and I got the priest to bless some oil so that one of us could anoint the other and do the last rites if we need to.
That seems a bit extreme. Sounds a lot to carry. How are you going to cope?
Oh, I'm sure I will. I put all of that in the rucksack. And I can pull my suitcase along.
What's in the suitcase?
Well, I was worried we'd get lost. So I packed a couple of maps and a compass.
Fair enough, I suppose. Though we've walked around the park plenty of times before.
Oh, and some Kendall mint cake, flasks of coffee, hot water bottles, sleeping bags, waterproof survival bags, a couple of tins of beans, torches, a spade to dig a latrine, and some flares to let people know where we are.
We're only going for an hour's walk around the park. I'm sure we can... I'm not sure that we can get lost.
Well, you know me. We can't be too careful, can we? Then I thought... Well, if we're out overnight, I might as well make good use of the time. So I brought my Easter cards and some Easter eggs and wrapping paper to wrap them up to get them done out of the way.
Really?
Yes. I'm ready for anything.
Maybe not quite.
What do you mean?
You don't seem to have brought your dog. The whole point was to give her some exercise.
How could I forget?
Thank you both very much. Okay. Our next hymn helps us prepare ourselves for the fact that when we come to hear God's word, we can expect to be changed by receiving it and taking it within us. Number 161. Speak, O Lord, as we come to you.
Teacher. of your plans for us, truth and change from the dawn of dawn that will echo down through eternity, and by grace we'll stand on your promises, and by faith we'll walk as you walk with us. Speak, O Lord, till your church is built and the earth is filled with your glory.
I've forgotten to double check. Is anyone expecting to do the Bible reading? You are. Brilliant. Thank you.
Be careful, there's some stuff there.
A reading from Luke chapter 10, verses 1 to 11, followed by verses 38 to 42. Jesus sent out the 72. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, 'Peace to this house.' If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. Stay there, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is offered to you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But when you enter a town and are not welcomed, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town we wipe from our feet as a warning to you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God has come near.'" At the home of Martha and Mary. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister's left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Amen.
Thank you. We're going to sing again, number 96, "We Sing of Your Glory." Do you know this one? It's one that's relatively new to me. It's quite simple. Can you play through a verse before we sing it? Thank you.
Glory, we praise you again.
Let us pray. Loving God, as we dwell more deeply upon your word, speak to each of us through your Spirit that which we need to hear today. Amen. I'm going to start by asking you a question. I wonder what some of your favourite Bible passages are. Does anyone have a particular favourite they're willing to tell everyone about?
Yeah. That's a very relevant one
that
I can relate to.
Yeah, so that's in John 14.
I
love that you've given me one, I know where it is. Makes me look clever and then I'll look stupid if anyone just shouts out of us. But yes, in my Father's house there are many rooms and I'm going to prepare one for you. That's a real hope for our future and our eternal life, isn't it? Consider, yeah, the lilies of the field that don't toil. I think that's from the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew, I think. So, yes, that idea that God will look after us. And there was one at the back.
Yeah, 3:16,
for God so loved the world. For God so loved the world. That core thing that reminds us that everything that we believe about God comes from love, that Jesus' life comes from God's love to be with us. Yes. Emptying himself and humbling himself, that's sort of very early hymn about Christ, isn't it? Yeah, that's lovely, isn't it? Yes. Yes, that bit where the disciples are trying to push them away and Jesus says, no, let the children come, doesn't he? That invitation to even those who are discarded by others. Oh, what a lovely set of readings you're coming up with. Any more? Yeah, so the faith of the Roman centurion, someone sort of outside the system, but who had that faith to say, you don't need to come, just you can do from here. Brilliant example of faith. Any final ones? Anyone bursting to tell us? Now, that's a really lovely set of readings. And I'm sure many of you have bits of the Bible that have spoken to you in different ways at different times that were perhaps fundamental in you coming to faith, or have renewed or reinvigorated you. That's certainly the case for me. I really love, there's a chapter in Job, chapter 38, in which God reminds humans that however much they think they know, however much they question what God is doing, we are living in a universe that is and will always be more mysterious than known, but that God is not only the creator, but the sustainer of that and knows all. And I love holding that together with Psalm 139. Oh God, you've searched me and you know me. This reminder that this mysterious creator God who is above and beyond all things knows each one of us so intimately that he knows what we're going to say before the words are formed and that we cannot go anywhere other than be in his presence. I'm quite fond of a story about David and Nabal and his wife Abigail in the Old Testament. It's one in which Abigail decides to follow her own instincts rather than the instructions of her husband and uses her own intelligence to prevent conflict. I have a daughter called Abigail and it's not a coincidence. And in the New Testament, it's just packed, isn't it, with those wonderful parables, stories that Jesus told that we tell to children about lost sheep and coins and brothers that go missing. And then we learn them again as adults and we see new depths and nuances and get something new from them. There's that wonderful passage about love from Corinthians. And a real touchstone for me through my life and my faith has been the promise in John 10:10 that Jesus came to bring life in all its fullness, that in living in step with him, we get something that is more than we would have otherwise. And yet today I've chosen the story of Martha and Mary to read and to think about. And I have to be honest and say that this is not one of my favourite passages. In fact, it's a passage that has, over the years, dismayed and annoyed me, frustrated and even infuriated me, and I can see you nodding, because it makes me want to step into the scene and, if I'm honest, give Jesus a bit of a shake and say, can't you see? Can't you see what is going on here? Martha's working so really hard to feed all these people that you've brought to her house, and she's having to do it on her own because Mary's not helping. And instead of thanking her, in fact, without even really seeming to notice how hard she's working, Jesus instead commends Mary for sitting and listening. And I want to say to Jesus, can't you see? If Mary got up and helped now, there'd be time for them both to sit later. It would feel fairer, wouldn't it? And I've known other women who have found this passage a similar source of frustration. And it's often seemed to be typical of the way that men throughout history have placed enormous expectations on what women will do and provide, and assumed that no effort, or denigrated even the effort that goes into doing that. And in church settings, we can still be told that we're not sure women should be up here with the collar on and doing all that, but we're very happy for women to wash the pots and look after the children and make sure the church is tidy, as though those things aren't a ministry of their own. As I said, this is a passage that I've found difficult over the years. And yet, perhaps, there is something in it that is more than I'd previously realised. You see, it's only really quite recently that I've noticed the context that it sits in within Luke's gospel, the things and the teachings that happened before the incident, and how they work together to tell us something deeper about what God wants us to hear. And once I've noticed this, I've come to realise that this passage might have something really important to say to us as Christians and as churches in this strange season in which we live. And so we also heard the start of chapter 10. This might be another passage that's quite familiar to those of you who have been in and around churches for a while. Jesus sending out 72 of his followers to prepare the places that he was planning to go, so that they would be ready for the message that he would bring. Now, I don't know about you, but when I'm travelling, I'm rather more like our prepared friend over there than the person who travelled lightly over here. I want to have everything I need with me, and probably quite a few things that might just come in handy, just in case. There's no harm, surely, in having an extra bottle of shampoo, because they might not sell the one I like where I'm going. The forecast might say the temperature's not going to drop much below 30, but I'll have a couple of jumpers, because you can never be too sure. And definitely, you always need a raincoat. And whenever we check in for a flight, it's no surprise to my family that their bags are always lighter than mine. And that's after I've stowed a few things in their bags so that mine's not overweight. So when I read this passage about Jesus sending out these disciples and telling them not to take a purse or a bag or even a spare set of sandals, I can feel my anxiety rising on their behalf. Not only are they to go with no luggage, but they're to go without a plan for where they're going to stay. They've got to rely on local hospitality. And this was something that was more normal in that culture, but it was still going out in a risky manner. And my mind is already thinking, well, if I've not got a bag, how can I take a little something as a gift for the person who is going to let me stay? And how can I take that pillow that I'm really comfortable on, in case theirs aren't up to scratch? And something to eat, because, you know, I'm a bit fussy. I might not like what they've cooked me. But the way that Jesus sent out those 72 people meant that they would be totally reliant on strangers, on other people. They would give up control over what they were going to eat and where they were going to stay. They would be vulnerable to rejection. What would they do if it was late in the evening and no one was willing to offer any hospitality? It was going out in a radical way to take God's message. And it boggles my mind to imagine myself in that group. And the thing is, I think all of us are used to planning and controlling our lives to as much extent as we can. And often in churches, we are used to being the ones who prepare spaces and hope that people will come in and enjoy our welcome. As churches, we are often less about going out there and more about hoping that people will come in. And I'm not here to say there's something definitely wrong about that. Making spaces where people feel welcome and valued, where they are known and loved, is a really important part of what we can do. But this morning I want to ask if we have become too convinced that our place as churches is always to provide, to always have everything that we and others might need, to always be those who are the hosts. And we can start, if we get into that mentality, to think that we're not really being a good church if we don't have a dementia cafe and a messy church and a toddler group and a lunch club for the elderly, a food bank, or at least we're collecting for one that's a bit further away, some sort of provision for the homeless. And then we might look and see another church that's doing great work with refugees and asylum seekers, and wonder if that's another thing that we've got to think about doing and providing, whether or not we have any of them particularly around us in our area. As churches, we've got to a place where we often agonise over our buildings. In many places, these have become too big or old for us to manage well and can feel like a drain on our financial and time resources. And yet we still see the community coming in, and so we feel the pressure to provide the space for the things they do. Their uniformed organisations, dance and exercise classes, craft groups, music groups, and so on and so on. And we say to ourselves, well, maybe we're not getting so many in on a Sunday as we used to, but look what we're still able to provide and resource for our community. And on top of that, on top of all that we want to do and all that we're pleased to provide for our community, we've got all this other stuff that we have to worry about doing. We've got to keep our finances in order. We've got to do the annual checks that need doing. We've got safeguarding and GDPR and EDI and all the other sets of initials that require consideration in our church council. And I want to ask if, in doing all of this, in doing this running around and keeping things going, we might become a bit like Martha. We're ever so busy. We're doing more and more. And if we're honest, we can start to become just a little bit cross about doing it all. It's not that we're doing anything wrong. We're trying so very hard to do all that is expected and needed of us. But perhaps we don't like the feeling of being the ones who are stressed and bothered, while others simply seem to enjoy the space and the hospitality we provide. Perhaps we even want to say to Jesus, don't you care that they've left us to do all this work by ourselves? Please tell them to help us. And it can even get to the point when our conversations about wanting new people to come into the church can seem to be more about bringing in people who will do some of the jobs for us, so that we're less burdened, than it is about inviting people to come and discover that God loves them just as they are, and to explore what living in a relationship with God will look like for them. So despite my personal discomfort at the idea of being sent out like one of the 72 with no bag or purse, they were sent out to offer the most important thing that they had to the people that they met. They were not to be bogged down by what else they were able to do or give for those people. They were to take the good news, the gospel, but they were to take it lightly, willing to accept that not everyone would hear it, given permission to move on if needed, rather than feeling they'd got to try and make everyone listen. And although I completely understand and even feel Martha's frustration, I've come to see Jesus replied to her, not so much as a rebuke, but as an invitation. An invitation to put away all the things that were bothering and harassing her. To put away the expectation that she would provide a feast. It was an invitation into a space that would enable her to sit at Jesus' feet and learn from him like her sister was. We cannot deny that we are living at times that are challenging us in terms of understanding what it means to be church. And as I've already noted, we can feel really burdened by the things that we think we're supposed to do and provide to be a good church. But today I want to ask if within this time there is an invitation from God to be more like the disciples who were sent out to be by Jesus, and perhaps a bit more Mary than Martha. An invitation to stop being worried and upset by the many things, and to know that in fact few things, or indeed only one, are needed. I want to ask if in all our busyness as churches, we've lost sight of the need to sit at Jesus' feet and learn, to listen and know again for ourselves the depth of his love for us. You see, I believe it is from a place of really knowing Jesus that we are most likely to be well equipped to tell others about him, not because we're engaged necessarily in a formal piece of outreach, because we would naturally want to speak about a relationship that is important and even transformative to us. Perhaps as churches and as Christians, sometimes we can go without a purse or a bag or even a cup of tea and a biscuit, believing we don't need to sneak the message about Jesus in between the things that we do for other people, but that the message itself is the most important thing we have, and so the most important thing we can do as a church. And if we spend that time being entranced by the message, filled with the knowledge of his love, maybe others will want to know more about what is lighting us up from the inside. I was really encouraged talking to Julie about your Bible study group and how it's growing and you've got plans. That's the sort of thing we need to make sure we're doing. Engaging ourselves fully with God's story, knowing that he is the one who loves us. Now, I have got to be clear, because I'm a mission area lead and I'm representing the district, and I want to make sure you know, I'm not telling you that you don't have to do safeguarding and all of that, I'm sorry. They're really important things and they underpin everything we do and make sure we do it well. Perhaps we just need to assess how many things we can really do well in this time. I want to invite you instead to hold on to the things that have always been done, just that bit more lightly. To recognise when perhaps you're doing something because it's always been done and it's expected, rather than because it's what this church, this congregation, or you as a Christian really feel called to do in the here and now. I want to challenge you as a congregation to think about whether you've allowed the busyness of being church to crowd out what the most important thing is: space to know God. And just in case you're saying we should withdraw from trying to do good for others, I've got a Bible test for you. Does anyone know what sits between the sending out of the 72 and the Mary and Martha story? It's okay if you don't. I didn't. As I say, it took me a long time to really piece this bit together. It's the story of the Good Samaritan. That really familiar parable. Something that's so endemic in our society that we have to explain to people. People didn't expect Samaritans to be good. They would have sort of almost gone, ooh, when he mentioned a Samaritan. In this story about an injured man waiting for help on the road, we see the priest and the Levite stride past on the other side, unwilling or unable to engage with the man with injuries. The gospel details are sparse, but we imagine that they might be worrying about what it is they are meant to be doing next, what is expected from them, where they are meant to be, and what state they are meant to turn up in. And so they miss the fact that God is calling to them from the injured man to help this person right here and right now. I believe and I hope that if we can make space in the busyness to build our relationship with Jesus, to hear him more clearly, to look at the world around us with his eyes, we can be sure that he has things for us to do. Again, they might be things we do together as churches, or they might be things that he calls us individually. We can be sure that he has work that's actually already going on around us, places where there are seeds of his kingdom values, that perhaps sometimes our call is to go and join in rather than replicate or think we have to do it here. As I said at the start, this story can be really challenging, and it is one that I have wrestled with over the years. But today I want us all to invite us all to hear that invitation to Martha, to ask if we and our churches need to be a bit more like Mary, if we need to spend that time sitting and listening to Jesus, hearing his will, and preparing ourselves for his call for now. Amen. Our next hymn is number 544. As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. Let us pray. God of busyness and rest, of contemplation and of action. We thank you for the witness of Scripture. Help us to hear your response to Martha, not as criticism for who we are and how we like to be, but as an invitation into a deeper relationship with you, an invitation to step out of what is expected of us and into the unbounded love that you offer us. Loving God, we confess that too often we are focused on what we do and achieve and produce. And sometimes we lose sight of who you are and who we are in you. We confess to you the times when we use the excuse of busyness to avoid coming more fully into your presence. And we hold before you the times when we have watched others bustling because of the expectations that have been placed on them. We offer to you the ways in which we each struggle to allow you to draw us nearer. We know that your desire to be in relationship with us is so complete that you came as Jesus to dwell amongst us and to demonstrate your love through his way of living, his death and his resurrection. Help us to hear afresh that you came not to bring shame, but freedom. And allow us to start trusting you more deeply. Help us to offer again to you our lives, to be used as you will, and accept our offerings of money as tokens of this. Amen. God, eternal, all-knowing and total love, you see the whole of human life. You feel its joy and its pain. There is nothing we can tell you about facts or feelings. We do not come to you with information about which you are ignorant, nor with a list of what we want you to do. We come to talk about the things which trouble us in your world, in your church, and in ourselves. We don't like what is happening in our own society or in the rest of the world. There is too much division and conflict, too much abuse and pain, and too little compassion and care for others. We see tragedies used as excuses to whip up hatred. And we see children struggling to be whole and healthy in the context of social media. We feel helpless before such sadness and pain, such confusion and pressure. Help us to listen to your voice and know how and when our concern can be turned into positive action. We are anxious about the church. We do not know how long things can be the way we feel they have always been. And we worry about the burden that being church places on stewards, treasurers, property teams, and so many others. We wonder if our priorities are wrong, and that we have misunderstood what is true success or failure in your kingdom. And yet we struggle to find the power within ourselves to change. Help us to create a life together which will demonstrate your love. We are worried about our neighbours, our friends, and our family. In a time of quiet, we hold before you the particular needs of ourselves and others that are on our hearts and minds. Help us to show your love through our love for them, and thus ourselves become the answer to prayer. In the name of Christ, our example and the one who is present with us in all that troubles us, we pray. As we join our voices in saying the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Our final hymn this morning is number 345. And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Saviour's blood? Let's sing together.
Should gain an interest in the heart.
Let's bless one another with the words of the grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.